Hello everyone, welcome to the When It Work podcast. You're with your host Julian Leahy. Today I'm joined by the fantastic Kendra Corman, Elswin Ridfeld, and Matthew Cercely. How did I go with those names?
Spot on.
Elswine?
Yeah. Elswina, that's very good.
Elswine, okay. Excellent. Well, that's better than I usually do. All right, we're going to play Jeopardy. And Matthew, you're in the hot seat. I'll just run through the categories. Geography, homonyms, literature, ships, tourist traps, and 49ers or Chiefs. Because the Super Bowl was just on. Elswine, I can see the look of panic on your face. But there's only two correct answers with that category because I was anticipating some European guests. 49ers or Chiefs. So you've got about a 50% chance of getting them right in that one. So you should be able to get a few. Matthew, what would you like as far as category and amount?
We'll do ships for 100.
Ships for 100. Unsinkable for most of its maiden voyage in 1912.
That sounds like the Titanic to me.
Me too.
Yeah.
Correct. That's pretty easy. Well done. What would you like, Matthew?
We'll go with 200.
200 ships. Merchant ship that made the trip in 1620 from Plymouth to Cape Cod. 1620 was very early in
the Mayflower?
The Mayflower. Let's take a look. Mayflower is correct. Well done, Matthew. Matthew's an attorney, so he's probably smarter than most of us. Now I've put the pressure on you, Matthew. What would you like?
I don't know. I think a lot of attorneys are kind of dumb to do what we do, but that's another issue. Let's go for 300.
Ships for 300. He entertained world leaders on his yacht, Christina. Hopefully not Jeffrey Epstein. Any idea? No? Anyone want to jump in? A couple seconds left. Let's take a look. I don't think anybody knows. I don't know. Aristotle Onassis, who also married JFK's wife, Jackie. All right, continuing on. If somebody gets it correct, actually, Matthew's still in control, but any of you, if you get a correct answer, you will get control. What would you like, Matthew?
Let's go with 400.
400 for ships. Royal neighbor of the spruce goose. You know what? It's a royal neighbor. It's a ship. So there's a lot of ships like the Queen Mary and things like that, or the King something. I don't really know the answer, but that would be my guess. Any ideas? I don't even know. What's the spruce goose?
The spruce goose is a plane built out of wood.
Interesting. What's the ship related to that? The Queen Mary. Oh, it was the Queen Mary. Well, there you go. I uploaded these as a CSV. I did not know the answer to that. Trust me. All right. Continuing on, you're still in control, Matthew.
Let's go with 500.
500 for ships. At some 500 foot long and with 9 masts, the Cheng Ho was the largest of this kind. Now, the name sounds like it might be from China, Hong Kong.
Is it a junk?
That's what I was thinking. It might be something like that. Let's have a look if junk is correct. Bit of logic there. A junk is correct. Well done. Matthew, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't panic, Elswine and Kendra. There's plenty of time for you to get involved. Matthew, what would you like next?
Homonyms for 100.
Homonyms for 100. Now, do we all know what a homonym is? What's a homonym?
Well, I think so.
Is it something that sounds like, or antonyms is opposite? Homonym is what? Should we just...
That's two words. Means the same thing?
It's two words that are spelled the same but can sound different.
Spelled the same, okay. Spelled the same but can sound different. Okay, let's take a look. Hindu hierarchy or a play's actors? I gotcha.
So it's caste and cast.
That sounds correct to me. correct. Well done, Matthew. We've got a bit of trouble here. We've got a bit of a brainiac on the board, and it's going to be hard to get a question in. What would you like, Matthew?
I'll do 200.
200, nice straight lines. Near or a purchase? Near or a purchase?
Is that buy or buy?
I think that sounds pretty good to me. Was that Elswine?
Yeah.
Let's take a look. Correct. Elswine has wrestled control off Matthew.
Woohoo.
Well done, Elswine. What would you like?
Somehow my image is super very blurry here, so I don't see the board or you very well, but I will stay with the homonyms for 300.
Can everybody else see me and the board okay?
It's a little blurry.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pretend it's perfect. Homonyms for 300, a fixed look or Ginger Rogers' partner? Now this is the old shows from the 50s movies that had a lot of dancing in them.
It is Astaire. Yeah. Fred Astaire and Astaire.
Elswine, well done. That's correct. Astaire. Elswine still in control. For homonyms, you've got 400 and 500 left. Still got geography, literature, tourist traps, and 49ers or chiefs. What would you like?
Let's go for the 400 in this category.
400 in homonyms. Didn't see the fog. This is a daily double. You'll get double points if you get this one correct. Didn't see the
missed.
Fog. Oh.
Missed, like with S-E-D and S-T.
Missed is correct. Elswine has found her category. Well done. Elswine is on 1,300 points. Matthew's on 900. Poor Kendra hasn't had a chance yet, but believe me, she will. Elswine, what would you like?
Well, let's finish this category with 500.
Homonyms, nice neat rows. Where ships dock or what a jury consists of? Ships dock.
Ships dock in a harbor.
Yes. There's another thing that I'm thinking it might be, but I'm not sure. They also dock in a port. So port or harbor. Should we go with your first one, Elswine?
Yeah, let's do that because, it's what I said first.
Ah, pier.
Oh, of course.
Yes,
peers.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, jury of peers. You're still in control. Elswine, what would you like?
You don't know if geography, if it's American geography only, probably.
It's not. It's. I did see one question because I had to add one because the... it was too hard, so I put one of the questions in personally. It's international.
Okay, well, I'm not very good at it, but let's give it a shot. Geography for 100.
Geography for 100. This Asian island was once known as Formosa. These days, it is known by two different names, depending on who you ask. Asian island.
Oh, I think of Japan, but that's probably not correct.
I'll give you a clue. This island, the name is very much a hot topic of dispute internationally. In fact, if you were to say the wrong name, you may get in all sorts of trouble if you are a world leader or politician.
Okay, I don't think I don't know that. So maybe
anybody?
Taiwan?
Was that Kendra?
Yeah.
Kendra is on the board. Well done, Kendra. Taiwan or Chinese Taipei, depending on who you ask.
Your hint helped me out.
No, you...
Let's do tourist traps for 100, because geography is not my thing.
Tourist traps for 100. The Colorado River really dug this national park.
What is the Grand Canyon?
Oh, I didn't even get a sip of coffee. Well done. Great job. Kendra's on fire. 200 points. What would you like?
Tourist traps for 200.
Tourist traps for 200. Seaside resort that has a monopoly on East Coast gambling.
What is Atlantic City?
Let's take a look. Atlantic City, New Jersey. Well done, Kendra. Kendra's coming back with
all right,
vengeance.
Tourist traps for 300.
Tourist traps for 300. Since 27, stars have made good impressions at this Hollywood site.
Oh, it's the...
Yeah, what do you do that?
It's
do
in front of the...
What is that?
Restaurant. Dang it.
It's the...
yeah, no.
Is it the Chinese theater?
Was
that Matthew?
Yeah. But I can't remember. It was somebody's Chinese theater, but I can't remember whose.
Can anyone get it?
No, but yeah.
Should we pay that?
What you're talking about. That's what I was looking for. Yeah.
Okay. Man's Chinese theater. Well done, Matthew. In control.
Let's go back to geography for 200.
Geography for 200 points. Dutch-speaking country found on a Caribbean island, which is shared with St. Martin. Elsvine, you must know this one. Even though you're not directly responsible for colonizing it. Dutch-speaking country. There's an island in the Caribbean, and it's split in two. One side was founded by France, and that's St. Martin. The other side was founded by the Dutch, and it is... very similar in name, but sounding a bit more Dutch.
Is it Sint Maarten?
Elsewhere?
Is it called Sint Maarten?
It sure is. Sint Maarten. Well done, Elsewhere. In control. What would you like?
What is the middle category?
Literature.
Literature. I'm not... not sure. Let's do geography 300.
Geography for 300. Eighth most populous nation in the world, the Bengal nation, was once East Pakistan.
That's Nepal.
Anybody else got any ideas? Just have a guess in that region. You got... 1 second. Bangladesh.
Oh.
Close. But no cigar. Elsvine, what would you like?
Well, let's try literature for 100.
Literature for 100, depending on the book. He could be a Jones, a Sawyer, or an uncle.
Is that Sam?
Beg your pardon?
Sam?
Sam?
No.
Tom.
Oh, Tom.
That was by, what was the guy that wrote that book, the famous, very witty man? Matthew, do you know that one?
Mark Twain.
That's the guy, yep. Okay, Elsewine, you're still in control.
Yeah, literature for 200.
Literature. He wrote The Three Musketeers. His son wrote Camille.
Oh, I know this one. Oh my God.
I think this one might start with a D. I'm not sure.
It's Alexandre Dumas.
Yes, Dumas. Well done, Matthew. The very well-read attorney has wrestled control back. What would you like, Matthew?
Tourist traps for 400.
Tourist traps for 400. A thrilling destination for tightrope walkers and honeymooners.
Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls. Well done, Matthew. If you make it through, you will qualify for the Champions Round where we play for real cash. Not saying that I don't believe anyone else can win because it's still very close. Elsewine's on 1,500. Kendra could go on another run and catch up as well. Matthew, what would you like?
Let's do 500 on tourist traps.
Tourist traps, 500. Tourists know this Catholic mission as Davy Crockett's last stand.
I'm in Texas, so I better remember the Alamo.
The Alamo. The only way I know that is from Pee Wee Herman's movie. The Alamo is correct. Well done, Matthew. Still in control. Very strong. What would you like?
Let's go with 49ers or Chiefs, although my 49ers broke my heart last night.
Well, I haven't watched the game, so thanks for the spoiler. 49ers for 100, Matthew?
Yes.
Is it? Okay. Joe Montana led which team to four Super Bowl victories in the 1980s?
That's the 49ers.
It sure is. Well done. Continuing on.
That's a good question, because he actually played for both teams.
I didn't know that, so don't give me credit for that.
Let's go back to geography.
Geography for 400?
For 400, yes.
First colony since 1776 to break from Britain without consent. It is now Zimbabwe. What was it previously?
Zaire?
There's also a big dog named after this country, this former, the former name of this country. A big dog that reportedly is used to hunt lions. We're out of time. Rhodesia. Have you heard of Rhodesian Ridgebacks? Maybe not popular in that part of the world. There's quite a few of them in Australia. South Africans have them. Matthew, silly control, what would you like?
Let's do 500 on geography.
500 on geography. Island off the African coast that was home to the dodo bird. Anybody want to jump in? Where does the dodo hang out, or did hang out?
Madagascar.
Elsewhere, was that you? That was you, wasn't it?
It was me.
Well done, Madagascar. 2,000. That was a big one. 500 points. And take a look at that. You are definitely nipping at Matthew's heels. 2,400. 2,000 for Elsewhere. And Kendra on 400. Elsewhere's in control. What would you like?
Well, I'm not so much for tossing a coin, so I will take my luck with the literature.
Okay, tough. Where you can't go again in Thomas Wolfe title. Where you can't go again in Thomas Wolfe. Do you know Thomas Wolfe, the author?
No.
Nor do I. Anybody got any idea?
You can't go home again?
Let's take a look. Well done, Matthew. 300 points. Very good with the literature, Matthew. And just about every other question. What would you like?
Let's go with 400.
400 for Matthew. Irving's bird-like hero chased by the headless horseman.
Ichabod Crane.
Is correct. Well done. I knew that one, Matthew. Would you like 500 literature?
Yes, please.
Shaw's Scorched Saint. I don't know. This is a tough one. Anyone? Saint Joan of Arc, of course. But who was Score and what did Score have to do with the story of Joan of Arc? That I do not know. You're still in control, Matthew.
Let's do 200 and then the 49ers.
200. Chiefs. Coin flip. In 1981, which team won their first Super Bowl?
I think that was the 49ers.
Correct. And if you remember, the question about Joe Montana is a bit of a clue for that one. Well done, Matthew. That's correct. 300 points.
300.
For 49ers or Chiefs, one of the greatest pass rushers of all time, Derek D.T. Thomas, played for whom? So the pass rusher is the guy that sacks the quarterback, I think.
Total guess, I'll say the Chiefs.
Let's take a look. 50-50 is Craig. Well done, Matthew. On 3,600 points, is a very good score. Elsewine's on 2,000. Kendra's on 400.
400.
400 for the Chiefs. Double record-breaking running back Jamaal Charles played for whom?
I have no idea.
Is it still the guessing game?
So jump in if Chiefs? You want to have a guess. You said Chiefs?
Chiefs.
Let's take a look. And that's a daily double. The Chiefs is correct. Well done, Elsewine. 2,800. That was 1,000 points, that question. Elsewine, you're in control now. If you get this correct, you would still not quite win. But it would still be great. Yesterday, Brock Purdy tried to take his team to the first Super Bowl. Which team did he play for?
49ers.
Is correct. Well done.
Good job.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Great job. That is 3,300 for Elswine. 400 for Kendra. Let's have a round of applause for Matthew. Matthew has qualified for the champions round.
Thank you.
Should he ever wish to be involved in something like this again? And keep an eye out when we have the champions round and we'll see if we can get you on. Okay, so what we're going to do now, as soon as the applause dies down, is we're going to have a chat to Matthew first, being on the left. So we're just going to switch over to the extreme close-up. And Matthew, you're an attorney for businesses, and you've been doing that for over 15 years. You've also had a couple of quite a few companies yourself. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your story, what you're up to, and what is taxation judo?
Sure. So I am an attorney and a tax advisor. I primarily help people with small businesses or a lot of investments to set up their life and their business to legally avoid as much taxation as possible. And so I call it taxation judo because usually the IRS is kind of the 800-pound gorilla, but you don't have to be as strong as them. As long as you've used their rules against them, you can beat them.
And do you find that when you talk about taxation, some people fall asleep, but some people go, yeah, I really need to know about this?
Yeah, the first reaction to almost everybody is, oh, my taxes are so high. And yeah, some people are definitely, the common reaction is, oh, it's so complicated. I can never figure that out. I can never learn it. But definitely some people are like, I want to learn more, because even if I don't know everything, everything you know gives you another tool in the toolbox to legally avoid, again, some or all of the taxes you owe.
Now, the way you operate is like as a financial planner or as an attorney? I'm a bit confused.
So I am an attorney and I function as an attorney. So I meet with people and I basically help them both set up their business if they need to set up an LLC or a corporation or something. And then I also help them learn enough about the tax code to do things like take legitimate write-offs that maybe they don't know they can take. And, so for example, if you hire your kids, that's a tax write-off and can actually sometimes save you thousands of dollars by just hiring your kids in your own business.
Yes. Do they have to actually do anything?
They do. It has to be a reasonable wage and they have to actually be doing the work.
Well, you know, I think my dad did this when I was a little kid, but I didn't do anything. So I think he's too old to go to jail, but I think a lot of people might do it on the sly. What I was going to ask you is, what's the difference between what you provide versus what a CPA can do for people?
So there are some CPAs who are also tax advisors, but most CPAs are essentially number crunchers. You give them, here is how much I made, here's what I spent, and they'll tell you what is owed in taxes at the end. Whereas what I do is I do the planning. So you hire me so that you can do things this year, so that when you send those numbers to an accountant next year, the number you owe will be lower.
Right. And you're also a freedom lover. Do you want to tell us a bit about that? I'm a bit scared.
Sure.
I'm a bit scared to ask this question, but continue on.
Yeah. So I definitely swing much more libertarian than most people. I am actually a member of the Libertarian Party, and purely to help out the party and not because I'm going to win. I'm actually a candidate for judge in Texas this current election cycle. But I think the government does way too much, and I think it should be smaller and kind of stay in its lane a little bit more. And so there's a great tie-in to, I get to help people pay the government less money. So that helps my clients out. It helps me out, but also, the less they collect in taxes, kind of the better, I think.
Good. Good luck. Would you be happy to become a judge in Texas?
Honestly, no, because I'd have to stop doing my business, and I think I enjoy my business a lot more than I enjoy being a judge.
Yeah, judge, it looks like a pretty tough job, lots of boring stuff, but very, very important job nonetheless. And I'm just going to bring up your website. So if people want to get in touch with you and get some help, so I guess, you know, things like forming an LLC and setting up everything so that you're getting the most benefits is a fair summation of what you can do for them?
Correct. And also just, again, understanding more about taxes. And I've actually, for anybody listening, I've got a special URL. So if you go to Agorist, A-G-O-R-I-S-T, taxadvice.com, when it worked, there'll be a download where you can download a paper that has over 60 different business deductions you can take in your business. Some of them, a lot of people know, but some of them are really kind of most people don't know about.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, so it's good to get a bit of info there. And if people want to have a chat to you, do they book in a call? Do you do like a video call or just over the phone?
So if you go to my main website, agoristtaxadvice.com, you can book a 15-minute informational interview with me just to get more information, make sure we're a good fit. About half the people who call me, I tell them, you know, I can't save you money. Don't hire me. So I want to help people out. I don't want to ever be the reason, you know, somebody doesn't succeed because I can't help them out.
Yes, it's a good thing with professionals like accountants and lawyers. They're not really going to sell you in something you don't need. It's either I can help you or I can't. So you can sort of go with confidence to that first call and work out if it's something that's going to help you or not without to worry about being sold into something that you don't need. So thank you, Matthew Cercely. If you want to have a chat to Matthew, I've put all of his contact details in the show notes. And briefly, we're going to pop over to Elsveen and have a chat to her. And let me just make that happen. Hi, Elsveen.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. And cool. Now you're a content person, which is something sort of everybody needs. A lot of solopreneurs out there, it's very important to work out how to build your messaging, get your message out there. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do? And what one of the things that you advocate for people is to start doing what you're doing and getting on camera. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So basically, I help experts to speak calm and confidently to an audience or on camera. So I started out in the Netherlands, working mostly in person with a practical method I call the Confidence Creation Framework. And it is full of exercises for your body, mind, and energy to really get out of your head and out of overthinking and ground and speak from your experience and trust that you know what you're going to say, rather than overthinking or like, is this perfect? What do I need? What do I say? So I work one-on-one and in small groups here for people who have a presentation or a pitch coming up. And I also focused on doing videos because, you know, being comfortable on camera is so important, because, you know, when you can be yourself on camera and people see your tips or your updates on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever your audience is hanging out, then they can just connect with you and either decide they want to work with you, or what happens to me too is they refer me to someone else. So they don't need to be on camera per se in their job at the moment, but they speak to someone who does, and then they say like, oh, you know, check out Elsveen because, you know, she has really good tips to help you get more comfortable on camera. So,
you know, so it's one of those things. If you are a solopreneur or a coach or whatever you're doing, or an attorney like Matthew, I mean, Matthew's out here doing podcasts, and you just see people on YouTube, whatever, and it looks easy, but it is quite something that takes a little bit of getting over. I myself, I'm not a particularly shy person, but I was kind of like really nervous about sort of creating content, making videos and all of that. And I'm not really even an introvert, but I think for people that are shy and introverted, the terror would be a lot greater. What are some of the things that people say to you that they need to get over, and how do you help people sort of conquer their shyness with this, Elswan?
Oh, I love this question. Well, first of all, let me tell you, I can absolutely relate with anyone who feels like this, because this for me started when I was a student and I stood in front of the room and I had to share something with 99 people, and there was a disconnect between my brain and my mouth, and up until this day I don't know what I've said there in that room. And later on, when I started wanted to make videos, I had that same feeling. So the first time I wanted to create a video course, the wrong way to start, people, start with short small videos. Don't start creating a course if you've never done videos before. That's a tip. But I set up the camera, I bought the lights, and I just walked out of the room. I couldn't even press record. I was just too scared. So that is, if people feel like that, I can absolutely relate with them. And what my clients say a lot is, I don't like how I look and sound on camera. That is something, especially the sound is different from how you speak in a microphone or how you sound inside your head. So that takes some getting used to. And people can be really harsh and critical for themselves. They don't know what to say or what to make videos about. Some people are afraid of tech.
There's a many different ways to make yourself not do it. And like, I remember thinking I had to make sure that I wasn't wearing the same shirt twice, or luckily I don't have to worry about brushing my hair, but people come up with all sorts of things to stop. Another one I hear is people talk about, I guess they have like imposter syndrome, and what's the other one that I often hear about is perfectionism. Would you say that those are a couple of things you hear a lot, Elswan?
Yeah, and one of the things I always say, real is better than perfect. Because even if you could create a perfect video, then it would create a distance between you and your audience, because they cannot relate with you. So when something goes wrong, you know, just acknowledge it, laugh about it, and go on. People can relate to it because it happens to them as well. And one big tip I want to share with people here is a mindset sentence that I found, and you can basically use this in any situation, but for now, let's focus on the videos. It's called an even though sentence. So you first think of the thing we discussed a few, like you said, perfectionism, or not liking how you look and sound on video, or, you know, who is interested in what I have to say. That's a big one I hear as well. So you write down maybe a few things that come up for you, and you pick the one that's the biggest struggle for you, or the standing between you and making your videos. And then you think of a really positive outcome from you sharing your video. So maybe you inspire your audience, or you attract more clients, or you can help more people. And then you create this sentence. So the structure is, even though the struggle, I know, or I will, the positive outcome. So even though I am a perfectionist when it comes to making videos, I know sharing my tips will help my audience. Even though I don't like how I look and sound on camera, I know I can help people, or I know I can attract more clients I can help. And if you form that sentence for yourself in your own words, and you repeat that out loud like 10, 20 times per day, you will notice that even though that objection is still there for you, you will no longer let it stop you from actually making and publishing that video.
And what you'll find, I think, is that the things that you worry about the most are kind of actually strengths that you have, because other people have similar things about them that they don't like, that they are almost attracted to. You know, like I know this guy who's he creates content about blogging. He's like a T5 quadriplegic. And he was like, what am I going to do to support my family? Who's going to listen to me? I can, you know, I can't talk properly. I look weird on camera. And people have just been amazed. And his big insecurity ended up being his biggest asset, because they're thinking, well, if this guy can do this, I can do this, or I've got this problem too. And all the things that you worry about the most are often actually your strength, because they make you individual and stand out and show vulnerability, I guess. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as you're being real. So it's important not to hide. So if you are like this person, don't try to show up as if nothing is going on. Talk about it, share it with people, because always with everything in the vulnerability is an enormous strength if you share it, and the right people will connect with you. And there will always be people who don't gel with you, your how you speak, what you say, and then that's okay. They will never work with you anyways. So if you only have written content and those people like it, and then they get on a call with you, and then they decide, oh, this person is not for me, which is fine, because we cannot be for everyone. So the more you are yourself and show your quirks and be vulnerable, the right people who actually want to work with you and learn from you will join you, sign up, or yeah, want to work with you.
The other thing I tell people sometimes is that if you have certain opinions about things, turn up the volume on those opinions a little bit, so that you know, you might turn people off, but at least you're going to be turning on the people that agree with your opinion. Like I talk about, you know, these kind of fake influencers that, you know, fake it till you make it, and they do all the, you know, posing in front of cars and stuff. Like that type of stuff is, that just doesn't, it's not really working anymore, and it's just wrong to do. But yeah, so just one of the things, like you say, be real, be opinionated, and it just shows some honesty and authenticity that people really are attracted to these days. And it's, if you're going to get to be honest and authentic, then you're going to feel much better about what you're doing anyway. And so what happens over here, Elswan? You've got a book, and how do people get that book?
See, it's called Get Comfortable on Camera, and it's available on Amazon. So if you type that in, and probably if you type this in, you will get shown a lot of cameras and stuff. So if you type in my name with it as well, Elswine, then the book will show up and you can order it. It's available all over the world. So if you pick your closest Amazon store, you can order it. And I also have a website. It's called elsevinasacademy.online. And there is a link to a free PDF with my 7 best tips, a link to the book, to your Amazon store, and how you can book to work with me if you want to one-to-one in a session with Zoom, and my renewed online course that I'm just about to relaunch, because I already had the course, but then I thought, you know, it's been 7 or 8 years and I renewed everything because, you know, things change, I've changed. So you can find it all in elsevinasacademy.online.
And that course, you've created video content. Do you also have like weekly lives or monthly lives, Zoom webinars or something as well?
Well, I just started to think about doing a weekly LinkedIn live and to share that to YouTube as well. So today I posted on LinkedIn something that I feel really a bit weird about, because I have been helping people with videos, but I've actually never looked at YouTube any other than just having the hidden videos to embed in websites and share on other places. So I have like a handful of followers on there, and I just had a designer create a new header image, which was really weird also. So I want to use YouTube more. So I will be looking to do weekly lives, sometimes interviewing people, sometimes by myself, and stream that to both YouTube and LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. So I'll put Elsevine's details in the show notes, and also your LinkedIn account. You're quite active on LinkedIn, so if you want to connect up with Elswine, you can do so. Thank you very much, Elswine.
Thank you.
Let's see if Kendra's still here. Oh, hi Kendra, how are you going? All right, let's talk about you. Now, you've got an MBA and you cut your teeth in the cutthroat world of the car industry, and you learned a lot of marketing stuff, which you now help solopreneurs with. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I'm a marketing strategist at heart. I am a recession style marketer because I learned how to do marketing, most of it, by cutting budgets and trying to figure out how to be more effective and efficient. And that's my goal with small businesses and nonprofits, is to help them be more effective and efficient with all of their marketing efforts. I don't follow the new shiny object. We do test and experiment, but it's really about leveraging those tried and true methodologies to make a difference. Yes, my clients usually get very upset with me when I tell them, I'm like, I need you to write some handwritten thank you notes. They're like, what? Okay.
Yes, well, becoming more efficient, I think, is such an important thing, particularly for solopreneurs, because they don't have the budgets to waste. Well, nobody should be wasting stuff on their marketing. What are some of the key ways that you can improve the efficiency of what solopreneurs are doing in terms of marketing, and what are they doing wrong?
So I am a fan of AI. I just said I don't go for the shiny thing, but AI has actually been around a really long time, and it just became accessible to us pretty much last year in a way that we can use it on a regular basis. And so I encourage people, especially solopreneurs, to go ahead and work with AI. It's like a built-in intern with unlimited hours. So it's someone you can bounce ideas off of. It is somebody that you can, that can help write your first drafts, that can help you outline, that can help you really get over the stuckedness, I guess, of being by yourself. I mean, you can't be all things to all people. And AI can really help you leverage that.
It really can. I'm a massive AI evangelist, but I find that people, they tense up when I mention AI, and they say things like, oh, it's going to give you the wrong information, or it's just a plagiarism machine, or all sorts of things. And
it doesn't sound like me yet. All of those things. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that, I guess you're not really using AI correctly. Like for example, like, it's not something that's going to write, give you tax advice and replace Matthew, for example, because it will give you the wrong advice. It's not what it does. But like, for example, if I had a whole lot of key points that I had given at a talk, you know, it will be able to produce a really good summary, and it's based on my actual points. So it stays on topic and it doesn't just go rogue on you. And it can just save you so much time with little fiddly things like, what do you use it for? Before I start blabbing on about me, Kendra?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. So I have a podcast, Imperfect Marketing. And one of the things that I do is I will brainstorm topics. I upload my previous topics and I say, okay, these were the last, you know, titles of the episodes that I did. Here are the themes that I'm looking for. These are some of the things I want to highlight. What ideas do you have? Give me 10 ideas. And I'll take like 4 of them, or I'll edit or change or combine and add my own personality to those. I use it for social posts. I upload the transcripts of my podcasts and I ask it for social posts, or I'll ask it for a bullet point for my email newsletter. I use it as a little bit of a therapist, and I will use it to rewrite something a little bit nicer if I have to write a not so nice email, or something that's difficult to communicate, I'll have it rewrite that. I use it it saves me about 3 hours per episode of my podcast. And then it saves me on average about 20 to 30 hours a week.
Do most people that you work with, do you get them on the free ChatGPT, or do they need to get a pro account to use it?
So I encourage people to get the pro account. I actually recommend Claude.ai, Claude. AI over the free ChatGPT, just simply because it's not the level where it needs to be.
Which
on
one's
the 3.5, the free. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the free version. So I prefer the pro version of ChatGPT, but I love Claude. So if you're looking for a free version, you get the same version of Claude. For free, you just get less searches. So if you're just starting out and you only need like 6 to 8 searches a day, then use Claude.
Can Claude write me better blog posts than ChatGPT?
I think so. I think that ChatGPT has been getting a little bit dumber, for lack of a better term. It's not following instructions to the same level it used to, which is a little bit frustrating. But I would say that Claude does a great job. It's got a lot more limitations than ChatGPT, so it doesn't search the internet. It doesn't have DALL-E, which is the image generator in it. So there's certain things that Claude doesn't have, but for what it does, summarizing a PDF, summarizing a presentation, outlining something, I think it outperforms ChatGPT on a regular basis.
Yeah, summarizing is a big one. Like if you've got, if there's some book or PDF, like you say, and you want to get a quick, make a YouTube video just off, you know, 10 points, that could just instantly give you something to go live with and talk about. And what can people expect if they head over here for your 7 steps to reaching your first 1,000 subscribers?
So yeah, so I have an ebook that helps you reach your first 1,000 subscribers because I am a big believer in email marketing. Email marketing really does move the needle. Unlike social media, you know, more than 30% of your audience is seeing your posts on any given day. So growing your email list is something that you own. It's something that you can take with you. It's something that you can use to help grow your business. So I would encourage you to start an email list if you haven't already, because it is the most effective and efficient marketing tool out there.
And it's something that you can just, if you've got a course, and you can just go bang, look, I've just launched this, and you'll get instant revenue from it. How long have you been building up your email list?
So I've been building email lists for other people for about 20 years, but I've been building my own list and finally following my my own advice for actually just the last 4. So I let 6 years of my business go where I had more than enough work and my email list wasn't important to me because I was doing it for other people and I didn't want to bother with it. And it was probably the biggest mistake that I made was not starting that email list earlier and not continuing to build on it.
That's awesome. You know, I'm actually planning a virtual summit and I wanted to have an email person on. I might talk to you later on about if you'd be interested in presenting at that. Would that be something?
That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And I'm adding a ton of AI into all of my email stuff to make it easier for people.
That would be a great topic. AI infused list building. All right. Well, that's wonderful. We've had some excellent guests on today. I'd like to thank our wonderful guest, Kendra Corman.
Thank you.
Al Swine. And Matthew Cicely, thank you very much, guys. I'm going to wrap things up. Let's put you on the big screen. Round of applause for our guests. Thanks for everyone for watching and listening. I'm going to see you next time. Bye-bye.